Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 24th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Peyton Allmeyer. Peyton is one of our newest members, and I'm so excited and thankful for his ministry and presence here. First, he'll read God's Word for us, and then at the end of the podcast, he and I'll sit down and have a time where we talk about life and faith. Thank you, Peyton, for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Our first passage is from Genesis 9, 1 through 17, from the New International Version. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each human being too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all the living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." Our second passage is from the 103rd Psalm. Love this one. "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. And those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul."
Peyton, thank you so much for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. Your friendship has been such a blessing. I want everybody to hear about your family and also tell us where you grew up.
Well, I'm so happy to be a part of this church and to have a church family here at Mountain Brook. You guys are the most positive, uplifting people. But yeah, my family. So I grew up and spent the first couple of years of my life in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and that's where my dad is from. So we're the biggest Green Bay Packer fans in the world. And whenever people talk about me, they're like, oh yeah, he's a cheesehead. So I'm very proud of that. Mom is from Kansas City. And then we came down here to Birmingham when I was 8. My dad got a call to serve as a pastor at the Lutheran Church in Vestavia Hills. And we've been here ever since.
And so, tell me about your siblings.
Yeah, so my sister is amazing. She's in Christian ministry up at Lipscomb University. She's also a really good soccer player. And she's a role model, even though she's younger. And my brother, he's an incredible runner. He's about to go to North Alabama to run cross country. He's such a good little dude.
And so your dad is the pastor at the Lutheran Church in Vestavia. And then what does your mom do?
Mom's a real estate agent, but first and foremost, she was the best and most unwavering mom anyone could hope to have. So very, very proud of her.
Tell me a little bit about your growing up, where you went to high school, college, and then I think you're also getting your master's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Spain Park High School, played golf over there, and went to Samford for accounting. And that's where I made all my friends. And Samford is such a blessing. And I'm at Alabama for a year right now, about to be done next week. So excited to have no more school. And then I'm going to start working in accounting later this fall.
You already have a job lined up?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
Pretty lucky. Yeah.
Let's do a few get to know yous related to golf and maybe other things that you're interested in. First, tell me, how did you get into golf and any stories related to golf?
Well, my first memory was hitting little plastic golf balls in the yard with my dad. So I got to give him the credit for starting me on that. And, you know, the memory that I associate with golf is my little brother getting a hole in one. And he was like 6, and I'm so jealous of him.
6 years old?
Yeah, 6 years old. And then, man, we were insane. We were playing, we would go on vacation every year in Orlando, and we would play like 200 holes of mini golf every day. So we were just, that's all I thought about, you know, all the way through high school, was just golf, golf, golf.
And have you ever made a hole in one?
No.
Still no.
Maybe one day. We'll see.
Maybe one day. Do you have any hidden talents?
So since I stopped playing competitive golf, I've really become obsessed with pickleball. And it's so fun. It's great to play with your fiance or friends or family. And yeah, it's the best. And if anyone wants to play at church, I'm always looking for people that can beat me.
Where do you typically play?
Over at Wald Park, down at Samford, wherever.
Anywhere you can find a court.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you have a love for fast food.
Oh, yeah.
What are some of your favorite places and what's your order?
Well, back when Alabama was still winning national championships, Roll Tide, by the way, I would go get the Taco 12-pack from Taco Bell, and I would eat the whole thing within probably an hour. But, you know, ever since we started going 9-3 every year, that's lost a lot of its luster.
Do you get the tacos, just plain tacos, or tacos, I want the full order?
You got to get the Baja Blast, which is the best drink in the world.
Okay. Webb's a big fan of Taco Bell. I'm interested to know if there are other fans out there that listen to the podcast.
Well, Webb's awesome, so that checks out.
Oh. Okay, you know I'm going to ask you about your relationship with Ada. I'm so excited. You guys are engaged to be married, and Ada is our student ministry resident here at Mountain Brook Baptist. How did you guys meet, and how did you know that she was someone you would want to marry?
So my best friend, who's also going to be my best man at the wedding, we were having coffee one morning. We were both single at the time, and we were just talking like, you know, hey, what are we looking for? You know, are we interested in dating? And I was describing to him what I wanted, you know, or what I was looking for. And I said, you know, someone who has a heart for the Lord, someone who's maybe even involved in church work, maybe even someone who's in seminary. Yeah, and then he said, you got to meet my friend Ada. And then 2 days later, we met at a college worship night at Dawson, and I was just talking to her, and immediately I could just tell, you know, there's something different about her. And it was funny, she was telling me about her experience at camp, you know, leading camp, summer camp for girls, and her camp name is IHOP, and, you know, the restaurant. And I said, oh, that's great. You know, me and my family, we go there, it's our tradition, we go there every Christmas morning, and she has the exact same tradition. And you know, that
with
was
her family,
yeah,
with they her do family. The same thing.
Yeah, they do the exact same thing. So that was kind of a wild moment there, where I think we both knew, okay, there's something special going on. But the more I talked to her, you know, the more I was just blown away by who she was. And, you know, even the first night I met her, I was like, man, I just care about her so much already.
And I was she giving off the same vibe?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure. For sure. And I was just like, you know, caring about her so much from the get-go, you know, that had to be the Lord kind of saying, might be onto something here. Then I asked her out at a game night a couple nights later, a game night where she was ruthless. She killed me like 3 or 4 times in the game we were playing. And that's also kind of when I knew. I was like, okay, she's competitive just like I am.
I like this.
Yeah, yeah. So I asked her out and, you know, we were engaged within 8 months. So it obviously went pretty well.
Yes, it did. Yeah. We're so excited about your wedding in August. Mm-hmm. Tell us the date.
August 15th, and can't wait to see everybody from church there.
What are some fun things that you guys like to do together, and maybe something interesting you've learned about one another?
So we both love playing board games together. We both love playing pickleball. Just both love going out to the farmer's market, walking around, you know, hanging out with our friends. But yeah, life is just so much fun with her. And I think we've both learned, you know, through each other, we've learned that we can just both be so secure in who the Lord is and, you know, how he has revealed himself, you know, in our relationship. And it's been such a blessing in that way.
You mentioned earlier that you grew up in a pastor's home, and I'm really interested in this because I want my kids to love the church and think that their childhood was amazing. So tell me about your childhood. How was growing up in a pastor's home for you?
Yeah, I think it's the greatest blessing that you can have as a kid. I know I just got so much out of being able to, because I was very curious, being able to have access to, you know, answers. My dad has such a unique ability to say things in a way you've never heard before. And that was always such an asset to me. And all the things that he said to me have just stuck with me so much.
Did the church surround you with love?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, in fact, last week they threw a bride and a groom shower for the both of us. So yeah, it's a lot like Mountain Brook, just such a positive, uplifting, supportive community.
I know you've walked with the Lord for a long time, and I'd like to know more about your journey with him.
Yeah, so I've always been, growing up as a Lutheran, baptized as an infant, kind of always seen myself as a Christian. I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church in 8th grade, and then joined Mountain Brook Baptist Church earlier this year. But it was just such a great upbringing. And like I said before about being a pastor's kid, you're always surrounded by the Word. You're always in church. And I just think, you know, even if you don't appreciate it, and I certainly didn't appreciate it at the time, all that stuff really just anchors you, and it sticks with you. That gives you such a great basis of knowledge. And I couldn't be more thankful for that.
I'd like to know more about the confirmation process in the Lutheran church. You said it was in the 8th grade. Is it typically 8th grade, and what does it look like?
Yeah. So it's 8th grade, and you go through a couple years of classes, and then my dad wrote up like a series of a couple hundred questions that you answer in front of everybody.
Oh, wow.
In order to be confirmed. So it's a pretty intense, but it's a really awesome process, you know. Well, I loved it.
Do you remember any of the questions?
So it's all about the Ten Commandments, all about the books of the Bible, all about, you know, certain all the basic doctrines. But yeah, it gives you such a great foundation, you know.
Related to this, were there certain catechisms that you learned as a child, question and answers about your faith?
Yeah, it was Luther's small catechism. And then all the questions were like, okay, what are the functions of the law to as a curb and a mirror and a guide? What does it mean that Jesus switched places with you? You know, that whole type of thing. It's really neat.
A curb, a mirror, and a guide. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Yeah, so it keeps you on the road. It kind of shows your sin, and it kind of shows you the way forward.
I love that.
That's kind of cool.
Yes, yeah. It's beautiful and rich. Related to that, is there a time when you sense Christ's nearness in the midst of difficulty where Christ was the curb or the guide?
A really difficult time was my dad was really sick a couple of years ago. It was during COVID. He had COVID and then he had pneumonia. And, you know, they all thought kind of not much of a chance that he's going to make it. So he was on a ventilator for like a month and a half, I believe. But he would, it was incredible. He would write letters to the congregation, you know, just kind of, you know, giving them a glimpse into how faithful he was, you know, even in the midst of all that kind of, you know, suffering and doubt and facing death kind of. So I think there were two or three weeks where it just didn't look good. But after that, it kind of steadily improved. And within 6 months, he was back preaching and being a pastor, which I don't think any of us thought he'd be able to be a pastor again there for a while. In those times, you really sense the Lord's presence. And, looking back on it, I know we're all grateful for it in a way. Obviously, it was a horrible what happened, but he uses those seasons to, allow us to grow closer to him.
Praise God for his nearness in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the passages. Did one of them stick out to you? And would you like to make any commentary?
Yeah, I just think, the idea that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. Initially, when I heard that passage, I was like, okay, that's pretty far, east to west. But then you dig into it, and that means it's been totally separated. It's an immeasurable distance. And I try to making that passage personal. I was the one that put Jesus on the cross. But in spite of that, look at what all that he has done to remove that guilt from me and all that he continues to do.
Amen. What has God been teaching you in this season of your life?
I think very similar to what Pastor Splann's sermon series is about right now. How do you remain faithful when things are going really well? And one thing that has always really stuck out to me about what he talks about is living an attractive life. And that doesn't mean like being physically attractive or having a lot of things. It means, living in a way where other people are like, okay, there's something different going on here with being a Christian. And I just think that's so powerful. And that's definitely what I'm kind of trying to learn right now is I still want to have that sense of reliance on God, even though things are going pretty well.
I do see in you someone who shines a bright light to the world. We have been so blessed by your ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist already coming alongside Ada. Where are some areas that you've plugged in and what have you seen the Lord doing?
Well, I've joined the sanctuary choir, done handbells, have been involved with the young professionals, but what I really get a lot of fulfillment with is hanging out with the junior high and high school boys, and they're just an incredible group of guys, and they're so smart and fun to hang out with, fun to talk to, and she does an incredible job with the junior high and high school girls, and we just care about them so much, and that's by far been the biggest blessing for our time here so far.
Thank you so much, Peyton, for reading and for sharing from your life and faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Lord, we just love you so much, and we rejoice in the knowledge that you are always more willing to give than we are to even receive. We learned today that you have removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, and we just ask that you would help us reflect on how that knowledge might touch and shape and transform every single area of our lives. We ask this and all things in your name. Amen.